Let's find a seat. Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking Matthew 24. You can turn there. But I want you. Have you noticed, like, today people do stranger things than what you remember doing?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
You know, just in general.
Yes.
And you think, why would someone do that? I mean, like, just stranger. Yeah. Stranger things that you would think, that's just really strange.
Yeah.
And one reason, if you look at Matthew 24, and Jesus is talking about the end times.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And he says, starting with verse 4, he says, take heed or be aware that no one deceive you, that no man will deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and they shall deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. So see that you do not be troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes and volcanoes and all kinds of trouble in the world, but these are just the beginning of problems, right? The beginning of sorrows. And what I've noticed here is something that's interesting. It says that in the last days that many will be deceived. And it kind of gets me thinking, why are people deceived? What does deceived mean? You've been tricked. You
lie to,
but to be deceived on something, usually you have to be looking for something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, like, say, I'm not deceived, somebody could trick me into buying something that I wasn't interested in. Mm-hmm. You know, like if it was like a Rolex. Say you go overseas, everybody has a Rolex, right? But I don't buy that Rolex, so I couldn't really be tricked because I have no interest in their Rolex.
That's right, yeah.
But here he's talking about, in the last days, many will be deceived because they're coming in the name of Christ,
mm-hmm.
or saying this Christ sent me,
mm-hmm.
but they're looking for truth, but what they're hearing isn't truth.
Mm.
Maybe it's a part of a truth,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the whole truth.
Right.
And so as a result of that, they're easier targets to be deceived.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because people are looking for truth.
Right.
And if we have the truth, then Jesus is the way, the truth, and life,
mm-hmm.
and we don't share him,
mm-hmm.
then we can't really be so upset or concerned that, hey, why are dumb people doing dumb things? It's because there's no smart Christian out there trying to reach that person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You have to reach out and communicate and talk to people to help them.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, they just don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they have truth.
Yeah.
But what they have isn't really necessarily truth. Does that make sense?
Right.
Like, I remember as a kid, I read this. I was a teenager, not a kid. Well, yeah, teenagers are kids because my daughter was one, so she's still a kid. But I remember reading this. I thought, well, I'm going to go do something about this. So I did. You know what I did? I went to the ghetto. The part,
yeah.
Not that I didn't live in the ghetto, but the deeper part of the ghetto. And it was funny because people still do things that were illegal back then, you know, just like they do today. But I took my Bible with me because that gives you like carte blanche. You know, I'm a white guy and I'm in an area that's not white. It could be Hispanic or black or whatever, but there's not very many whites. But you take your Bible with you, and you see people on the corner.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to talk to you. Got your Bible? I want to share something with you. People start scattering.
Yeah.
They do. They're like, he's crazy. I don't want to talk to him. But one guy couldn't run because he was hurt. He was like limping. And I remember I went up to him and I said, hey, I got good news for you. He's going to leave me alone. He was bigger than me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay. I was going to say, okay, no, seriously, I can see you're hurting, but I want you to know, I didn't ask him, like, have you ever heard of Jesus? I didn't even go there. I want you to know, Jesus loves you, and he cares about you, And if you're not saved, you can get saved. And if you're hurting, he can heal you.
That's right.
It's just like that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right, what do I do? I said, well, let me pray for you. Right? I didn't know what was wrong with him, but I could tell he was hurt. So we prayed, and I prayed that the Lord would heal him, and he never really heard that before. Okay, fine. And I was off into the rest of the the area. And I remember his name was Tommy, right? And I saw him, and I was maybe 20, 30 minutes later, I come around the corner, and Tommy's walking just fine.
Hallelujah.
I say, hey, Tommy, and I kind of wave. Hey, thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. I'm doing great. Right? I'm like, what are in these hands? What are in these hands? You know, I'm like 19, 20. I think this is amazing. But it started to, it didn't really dawn on me at that time. I didn't really think about it. But if you look at James chapter 5, if we look there, let's turn to James chapter 5. And what we want to call today, I want to talk about, you know, the great, you know, you have GoPro, the little video camera, which people talk about their life, but it's just about their life and their experience. But what about the Go Mission?
Wow.
It sounds like the commission, but we are told to go, to go, to do something, to take a step.
Yes.
So I call it the Great Go Mission, not commission, but Go Mission. Look at James 5, it says this. And this was enlightening to me. It was not necessarily part of what I was really going to discuss in depth, but this shed some light on it for me. He says this, verse 13, is any of you, James chapter 5, verse 13, are any of you, that means us, are you afflicted? You got something wrong? Pray. Are you happy? You merry? Then you sing a song. Right? You know, it's kind of weird how you want people to pray for you, but you'll sing your own psalms. Like, you know, people go, I'm going through so much. Can you all pray for me? People go, okay, I'll pray for you. But, you know, you don't know if they really are going to pray for you. So you should do your own praying, right?
Right.
But it says if you're happy, sing a song. But you don't hear people go, man, I'm so happy. Hit a tune for me. Go ahead, sing a song. You don't have anybody else singing songs for you when you're happy, right?
Right.
Is anybody? Because then we have to pray for you. Is there anybody else, when you're happy, do you have someone, you call someone, hey, can you sing a song for me? Because I'm really happy. I got a lot of joy. Sing something spiritual. Sing something that'll get me moving because I'm happy. Has anybody ever called you up? That would be weird, right? Kathy, how about you? You ever call someone up? Tell Mark to sing for you when you're happy. You wake him up, go, hey Mark, sing something, I'm happy, sing something for me. No, people don't do that, right? But if it says if you're sad or you're going through a problem, well, it says that we are to what? Pray.
Yeah.
But oftentimes, we call other people up, tell them our problem, and want them to pray for us.
Yeah.
Please pray for me because I'm having a hard time. Okay, but then be scriptural, and then when you're happy, call them up and say, hey, can you sing a song for me? Because I'm really feeling joyful. Right? So but here's the part I wanted to look at. Verse 14, is any of you sick? Let him call the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, it shall be forgiven him. Now here's what's interesting. Now, you might have already known this. But this goes back to Tommy. Because last week, remember, we talked about healing and forgiveness are both mercies.
Mm-hmm.
They're both mercy. Meaning, you and I, we could say, well, Lord, I want to be saved, I want to be this. They say, okay, I don't want to go to hell. I'll accept Jesus into my heart. But now if I'm sick, I might be, well, that's just God's will. He's teaching me something. You just never know. And here we read, and remember when Jesus told the man, stretch forth your hand? He said, which is easier, to heal him or to forgive him? And he says, they're both easy.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, it's the same thing. Remember?
Yes.
Here, he's saying, if you were sick, The Lord said he would heal you and what? Forgive your sin. It's the same thing. Yet, for many people, they think, well, if I could improve my behavior, if I could get saved, that's great. Or, once I am saved, I don't know if the Lord would heal me of something. It's like the person who looks at the stars for direction in life, you know, the alignment of the stars, like what's your horoscope. It didn't take me long as a kid. I knew horoscope wasn't something I wanted, you know. That's why they call it horoscope. But why not look at the one who made the stars for direction in your life?
That's right.
Not just looking at the stars.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But look at the one who created the stars.
Amen.
Amen? Here, he said, if you're sick, the Lord will heal you, and at the same time, he'll forgive you. Amen. Why? Because where did the sickness come from? It came from sin. And to get healed means you had to get rid of the sin problem. So when someone said, well, I got healed. That's why Tommy, see, I didn't know that then, but I just acted in faith. Tommy could believe, okay, God healed me. I said, hey, if he healed you, I mean, he forgives you, he'll heal you, he loves you. It's the same faith, it's the same mercy. He goes, okay. No different, doesn't know any better. Because if I can believe that the Lord loved me to die for me to take away my sin, well, then I could believe he would do that with the sickness because the sickness came from the sin. So if I could believe I was forgiven, right? Anybody ever do something? Anybody have a challenge this week? Maybe you missed it in some area?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you had symptoms of unrighteousness?
Yeah.
You had to pray, Lord, forgive me.
Yeah.
You believed he would. You didn't check your symptoms of unrighteousness. You just believed he would.
Yeah.
Hey, he forgave me. He said he would.
Right.
Well, that same, he forgave me. He said he would, is no different than he would heal me because he said he would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to check your body. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. Just base it upon what he said.
Amen.
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 He said he would.
Yes. Yes.
And how? How did you get saved? You accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
That's what you did. You said a prayer.
Right.
You believed it in your heart, and it came to pass.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think you'd get healed? Well, when after 6 months? No. No. Is when you receive Jesus as your healer. You understand?
Amen.
The same way you receive him as your forgiver, you would receive him as your healer.
That's right.
Just because he said so. He said he would help you. Well, you say, but I still feel this. Well, those are just symptoms.
Mm.
Amen? Yeah. Just like when you made a mistake or you missed it, you sinned, whatever, you have those symptoms of unrighteousness. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there, but it doesn't mean that's what you are or who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I grew up, we of course we lived in a different time, but I don't remember boys thinking they were girls and girls thinking they were boys because of their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If when I grew up, I remember you had to be tough to be a boy, which meant don't cry. Don't cry. Because only girls cry. Now that's not true, but that was reception, right? But if I was just to go by how I feel all the time, you know, like someone says, aren't you glad you're not a girl? I go, I don't even think about what it's like. I'm a guy. I don't even think about it. But if I had a thought that came, that feeling or something that comes, I don't have to think on that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
You're not what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
You don't walk by what you feel, by what you see, by what you hear. You walk by what you believe. And you believe the word. Like, you don't always feel saved. I don't know what that feels like. Just because you have some, you're happy and someone sings you a song. Sing me a song. Then when you're not happy, what happens? Does that mean you're not saved? No. You just stay with the word. You just keep going by the word. Just stay with the word, not by how you feel.
Amen.
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 So look at Matthew 28. I'll speed up here. Matthew 28. Jesus came to them saying, verse 18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and I am always with you, even to the end of the age." Now, he tells them, all power and authority has been given to me. Now you go. Look at your neighbor and say, go.
Go.
Go. Or G-O, get out.
Go.
Go.
Yes.
Right? Get going. Go. What does go mean? Go means you have to take a step.
Yeah.
You have to move. If I said, hey, let's go. And if you really wanted to go, like if I told the kids, hey, kids, we're going to go to Six Flags. Yay! They're out the door. Hey, kids, we're going to go to school. Wake up, kids. We're going to go to school. Kids, get up. We're going to school. Or no Six Flags. Oh, okay. We'll get up and go, right? Go means you have to move. Jesus says here, remember, you have to see the world as a lost and dying place. Amen? Here he said, for the believer, go into all the world and tell them about me. Preach the gospel.
Amen.
Get out and go.
Yes.
Now,
yeah.
You and I have been told what? Oh, no one's going to care. No one's going to, you know, they're not going to receive. And yet the Bible says that people are being deceived because they don't hear the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a matter of people not wanting to believe. It's a matter of them not hearing the truth. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
How can they believe unless they hear? So here in Matthew, he says, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, get out and talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Sad statistic. They said that on average, you know how they do those statistical polls? Christians share their faith 1.3 times a year.
What?
1.3 times.
What?
A year. Where they actually talk to someone about the Lord.
Oh, no.
Say, I'm not that bad. I'm about two times a year.
I'm
three. Wow, you're double the average. You're doing great.
Oh.
But part of our thinking is we think we're responsible. Okay, like sometimes maybe I don't want to share my faith because then if they do get saved, that's great, but then they're going to want me to give them a ride everywhere. And I can't do that. I can't pick them up and take them home all the time, take them shopping, run them errands. It's just too much. So I don't even want to share my faith because I don't want to be responsible for them.
Oh,
right? Has anybody ever thought that way? Maybe? Just me? So that's why it's easy to share your faith way out somewhere where you know you're never going to be again because you think I'll never see him. I live in a different place, a different country. This is great. So look at Mark 16, says this. Verse 15 and 16. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Start with the animals until you get really good and then you can work your way up to people. Right? But it says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now this baptized, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, he says, he who is believed and is baptized into the body of Christ will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Should we be water baptized? Yes, we should. But water baptism is not required for salvation. It should be observed and acted on. And the reason I say that is because it's an act that you do. It's something you do. So you could earn your salvation through water baptism, which you can't. But this verse is saying, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So the emphasis is on the believing part, not the baptizing part.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
It doesn't say he who does not believe and is not baptized will be condemned. It's a he who does not believe. Mm-hmm. And this baptized, you could say, is where the person who receives Jesus into the heart, the Holy Spirit takes them and baptizes them into the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Amen? Now, we should be water baptized, but as an act of obedience, but it's not required, it's not essential for salvation. Say, for example, you were lived in a desert, and you got saved, and you got bit by camels or something. You know, like, you're going to die. Well, you say there's no water there. How could you get baptized? You could. Water baptism. Right. But he's not talking about that. He's talking about being baptized into the body of Christ, the new birth experience. Amen? Mm-hmm. But here he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news. Mm-hmm. What is the good news? That Jesus is not mad at you.
That's
that
right.
God loves you.
Yes.
That he wants you well.
Yes.
That all your sickness and sin and disease was laid on Christ so you could be free.
Amen.
And your job is just to believe that.
Yes.
That's all he's saying. So, Acts chapter 1. Look at Acts chapter 1. So we're talking about the great goal, mission. It's just telling people the good news. You know, we're not, I remember, you know how you prepare, like, if, what if I go out and they ask me this question and that question and I don't know the answer? What am I going to tell them? Anybody ever thought that?
Yeah.
Well, most of the time, they're not coming up with those questions anyway. And if you do, they ask you a question, you can say, I don't know. But what I do know is that God loves you, that he's got a plan for you.
Amen.
That he's got a purpose for you.
Right, right.
And Jesus is saying here, go again. He's telling you go. He said first Matthew go, Mark go.
Yes.
And now Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said that you will be witnesses when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The angel said then, because Christ is taken up into heaven, he said, why are you standing here? I don't know. This is a nice place. I like it here. He says, in other words, the angel asked him the question, why are you not going and doing what Jesus said? He is coming back.
Amen.
He said, why are you all standing here? Why are you guys just sitting here? Why are you hanging out here? Because the disciples, what are they doing? They're looking. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, Jesus went up. Wow. Mm-hmm. He said he's coming back. And the angel said, hey, get going. Move it.
Yeah.
You got some work to do, boys.
Yes.
Minus prison time, you got some work to do. You know what I mean by that? They get thrown in jail or what have you. They can't work when they're in jail. So here, we need to recognize that the Lord has called us all to be witnesses. Mm. And your job and my job isn't to try to convince people or trick them or like, hey, please just pray with me because I have a quota to meet. I need 2 people a week. That's what they're doing in my church leadership conference. 2 people a week, gotta get saved. Can you just say the prayer? I really don't care if you don't mean it. I really don't. Just say it. I just can sign here. I don't care if you come. I don't care if it's your left hand signature, right hand signature. I don't care. I just need 2 people. And if you sign a new name next week, it's okay. I'll buy you lunch. It's fine. You can backslide this week and get resaved next week. And we're all getting our names in a big pool, and if they pull my ticket, I win. It's going to be great. I just need you to help me. Right? That's not going to get people's lives changed.
No.
Or transformed. Right? So we need to recognize that the Lord has called us to be a witness. Now, I looked up the word witness. Right? Here's some ideas or definitions. It's to attest to an event or a fact. When you witness, you can say, what has God, what has Jesus done for you? The one, he's preserved you, he's kept you.
Yes.
Remember, I mean, I would say, even if you grew real slow, what you used to be like compared to what you are like today, probably different.
Yeah.
Someone said, you wouldn't have wanted to know me before Jesus. I still have symptoms of those unrighteousness things once in a while, but that wasn't like I used to be. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, you know how they say it's the quiet people you got to be careful of? Like, I could be really, I mean, you know, as a kid, I'd have, like, I'd be really mellow, and, you know, people push you and do this and that, but if I ever exploded, It would be good, right? I remember one time, I'll share the story about me. So I have two sisters, one older and one younger. And I was probably like 9, 10 years old. And we were watching TV, and it was Summer Olympics, and I had been watching, I used to like war shows. You remember the Baba Blatchy? Do you remember that one? Oh man, once a week I'd wait. Man, I was so excited. I couldn't remember if it was Tuesday or Wednesday night. But I'd be waiting for that show, 7 p.m., right? And I would be a good boy, quiet all day. So I started the show. My sister came in. She turned the TV. That's what I said. What? She sat down. I said, what are you doing? She goes, I want to watch the Olympics. I said, no, you can't watch the Olympics. Wait till after this. No, I want to watch gymnastics, because she likes gymnastics. And she's louder than me. You know, she's kind of more verbally amplified or aggressive than I was. So I heard my mom say, look, you guys quit arguing or you go to bed. So I get up and I turn the TV. No, stop it. I'm whispering, stop it. I just want to watch a show. She gets up, no, I ain't going to watch a show. I want to watch it. And my mom said, that's it. You guys are going to bed. I got so mad. My sister was sitting on the end of the couch. I started kicking her. She couldn't scream because she was like, she couldn't because I kept kicking like really fast, like a kid, right? You know, like, because I was so angry. I'm not proud of that. I mean, that's under the blood. Forgive her that. But if you ask her to this day, she kind of has a little tear in her eye. She goes, yeah, that was crazy. Well, what happened? I mean, yeah, I would like to think that was pre-Jesus. Right? That's under the blood. That's forgiven. That person who did that died.
Yes.
And just like we recognize who we are in Christ now is not what we used to be.
That's right.
That in itself is a testimony to others.
Amen.
Like, you remember when you did this? Well, I remember, but that person died. Because
yes.
Now I'm in Jesus.
Yes.
I no
yes.
longer think that way all day long.
Hallelujah.
Never occasional thought like that. But it's I have a new nature.
Amen.
Christ
Amen.
Can change me.
Yes.
Right? He can change me. And so that's one way. One is one who gives evidence or who testifies, another yeah. one. In a judicial setting. One who has personal knowledge of something. When we're talking about a witness.
Yeah.
You have personal knowledge about what Jesus did on the cross.
Amen.
You need to share.
Mm.
You need to share. Public, here's another one. Public affirmation, usually within a religious setting. Amen? These are ways that we can be a witness. And you don't have to be perfect to be a witness. You know, sometimes you think like this. Well, when my life is perfect, then I can be a witness because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to give the wrong appearance. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And in not witnessing, you already are a hypocrite. Because Christ told you to be a witness.
Wow.
He told you, go and do this.
Yeah.
Don't worry about you. You're not the example. He's the example.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's good.
You're not preaching you. You're preaching him.
That's
so when you're talking about sharing your faith, it's sure it's not just in what we say, but it's in what we do. It's about, that's what we're talking about. Let's make sure we keep our joy, right? Because people are watching you. That saying, I always feel like someone's watching me. It's true. People are. Amen? And one really big reason why you want to be a witness. Anybody, what do you think? Why would you want to be a witness and win people to the Lord? Anybody think about why? Obedience. But the Bible says that the wise people win the souls. Because people are eternal beings. Amen. They last forever. You know, your car, your cell phones. Remember your slick little flip phone you first came out with? When my grandpa died, he said, well, he didn't say, but the relatives. So we want to give you something that belonged to your grandpa. Very valuable. I'm kind of thinking, ooh. So they gave me the Motorola car phone. Corded, by the way. It was corded, plugged into the cigarette lighter, it came in a big box. So, this was $1,500. I'm like, it's totally useless to me. Thank you so much for loving me to that degree. You guys remember those Motorola MCs? You thought people were real important when they were talking on the phone, Gordon. I was like, thanks, Grandpa. So I'm glad I didn't put all my money into that, my whole life into that.
Yes.
Because those things, what?
Yes.
They fall away. They perish. They become obsolete.
Yeah.
But the Bible says that if you win souls, you will shine like the stars in heaven.
Oh, that's good.
That your light will never grow dim.
That's good.
Right? That what you do for him, your fruit will remain forever.
Mm.
And one day people will see, you know, the problem, the common problem everybody has is sin. People say, well, I don't know them. Well, you know they got sin. You don't have to, hey, you're a sinner, aren't you? You don't have to, not like that. But to let them know there's a cure. Everyone's trying to cure sickness and disease.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. Why are we not trying to cure sin when we have the cure living in us?
Wow.
This is about letting people know.
Amen.
And
amen.
As we let people know,
yeah.
We tell them, he said, this is what he told you to do. Go.
Yes.
Go.
Yes.
Go. Amen. Matthew 22. Here's some reasons why we don't always go. Matthew 22. If we think about, I'll tell you another story. When I have a friend of mine brought over their boyfriend over one time. I was younger. I was like 20, same age, time, period. And I was reading my Bible, and I'm thinking about this, going to all the world, right? Preach the gospel, let people know about Jesus. And these guys always like to party, right? Not Bible party, you know. party. So we're sitting at the table, and I was thinking, he goes, what you doing? This friend. I said, I'm reading my Bible. I said, you know what? God loves you. Did you know that? And my friend who was a girl, she was like, kind of looking uncomfortable, like, uh-oh, here he goes.
Right.
So it's going down right now on my kitchen table.
Yeah.
Well, long story short, I said, why don't you give your heart to the Lord? He loves you. He cares about you. He says a prayer. He gets saved. And she got mad because, you know, they were party buddies. And they couldn't party anymore because he didn't want to.
Yes.
He's like, I got saved. I'm different now. I already feel good. I don't have to do anything else to feel good. I feel good. Right? She got mad. I was like, don't be mad. We can pray for you. No, I don't want you praying for me right now. Just. But it's about telling others about God's love. Don't make their decision for them without telling them.
That's right.
By not telling them. Right? Let them know how much God loves them.
Yes.
You
got
the answer to their problem.
That's right.
And you might go, well, I got a lot of problems. Well, yeah, but you got a lot of answers too.
Mm.
Amen?
Amen.
Everybody has problems.
Yeah.
Everybody's going through things. The problem is if you stop moving or you stop going, right, toward God. Like Peter, when he got his eyes off of Jesus, he got it on the storms of life, he started to sink.
Mm.
Amen. When you get your eyes back on the Lord, he lifts you up.
That's right. That's
so here, Matthew 22, and verse 1, it says, the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about a certain king, which he had a marriage for his son, and he sent forth servants into their fields and to invite all the guests, he bid them to come, but they would not come. Verse 3, so he invited all his friends and family, nobody would come, and he sent them again, saying, tell them, behold, I have I have prepared the dinner and the ox and the fatted calves and everything is ready for the marriage. But they made light of it and they went their way. No one went the way toward his farm. They all went to their own direction. They all went for just merchandising and different things, business of life. So the merchant took the servants and he entreated them and he pleaded with them. And then it says that he slew them when they would not respond. But when the king, when the king heard, he offered, when the king heard thereof, he was angry, right? And he sent forth his armies and he destroyed the murderers and he burned up their cities. He said, the earth in this generation, the wedding is ready, but they which are invited were not worthy. He said, go therefore into the highways and the byways and as many as you invite into the marriage feast. So the servants went out to the highways and they gathered all, as many as they could, both the good and the bad, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Right? So here you see an example where Jesus is saying that he's inviting everybody to the wedding feast. And some who think they're good enough, some don't pay attention, they don't really care. You know, like you have the initial friends list.
Yeah.
Does anybody get upset? You invite friends to a party and none of them show up? Yeah, like, I thought you were my friends. Well, we are, we're busy. You know, forget this. Yeah, I just sent out a text blast. Anybody at all want to come to my party? I've already got everything prepared. What if you get married and none of your guests showed up?
Uh-oh.
You had all this Texas barbecue going and nobody shows up. Organic, grass-fed. How would you respond? You'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go get anybody.
Yeah.
No excuses, right? And this is the same thing Jesus is illustrating. He talks about it in Luke 14. He says, go and tell people.
Yeah.
You're not responsible to take care of them, in this sense. You just tell them the good news.
Yeah.
You don't have to buy them groceries and gasoline and pay their electric bill and all that kind of stuff. You just invite them.
Yeah.
Tell them.
Yeah.
See, the Lord is the one who can supply.
Amen.
He just needs your mouth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you can talk. Right? All the ladies are like, oh, amen. We can talk. Right? But the idea is going into the world and telling people.
Yes.
Healer, you don't have to heal them. You don't have to save them. All you have to do is tell them. More than 1.3 times a year.
Right.
Somebody. That's amazing, right?
Yeah.
The average person, 1.3.
Wow.
So if somebody does 10, that means the average of the other 9 is very low. Because what if I did, 10 times 1.3 is 13. So if I shared my faith with 13 people, that means the other 9 people shared with nobody. So those 9 people can't earn eternal rewards because they're not going into the world and preaching the gospel. Not just by their lifestyle, but also by their words, right? So there's different reasons why. Look at Luke 14. We'll close with this. Luke 14, and we'll start with verse 16. So it says that Jesus is telling a parable. His servant came at supper time and everybody was invited to come. All things are now ready. Verse 18. And they were all with one consent. They began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground. I bought some land. And I have to go see it. Please forgive me. So he has some investment, whatever. He said, I got to take care of my investment. Forgive me. And then verse 19, another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I got some cows. He says, I got to make sure that they are what they are. I've got to prove them. He said, so please have me excused. So he's got an excuse. Third guy says, I just got married. I can't come. Like, you understand. I don't have to make up any excuse here. I just got married. I ain't coming. You understand? He didn't say, please forgive me, please excuse me. He's like, you're supposed to understand. I just got married, right? So that servant came and showed the Lord these things. And the master of the house, being very angry, said to his servant, go. Remember the word go? Go.
Yeah.
Out quickly into the streets in the city and bring the poor, the maimed, and those who are halt or laid up, and the blind. You just go find anybody.
Yeah.
This is not a, you know, I invited people. Nobody wants to respond. You just go get anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody who will what? Respond.
Right.
Because the poor can get healed of poverty. The blind, he can heal.
Yeah.
Those who can't walk, he can heal. He can forgive and he can heal. So don't waste your time on the religious person who's always coming up with excuses.
Mm.
Amen?
Mm.
Like the guy who said, I can't come to church because I mow my lawn on Sunday. Oh, come on. Mow your lawn on Sunday from 10 to 1. Tight schedule there, right? But it's not your gospel. It's not my gospel. It's his.
That's right.
So he's telling you, Jesus is telling you to go. Let people know that they're loved. That he cares about them. Mm-hmm. You're not the supplier. You don't have to have that burden. Like, you're the one that's going to have to take care of it. Right? You're going to have to go over to the south side early Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Pick them up. Run them on some errands. After church. Take them out to eat. Be back home. You don't get home till 6 p.m. You can't do that. Well, he didn't tell you to do that. Amen? He just told you. Because if people really want to do something, they'll find a way.
Yeah.
If I said, anybody who's coming to church today, there might be $1 million under your seat. Everybody's like, oh, that's what I'm talking about. I'll be there. Because now you have a desire. Your want to has just increased.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What if it was if I said, every time you come to church this week, this month, you get $1,000 if you're here by this time. You think anybody will be late? No. But I want the $1,000. I go do what I want during the week. I want the money. Right? Because their desire has just increased. If somebody really loves the Lord, you have to feed that desire. You, like me, not only talking about you, me, say, okay, Lord, this week or today, I'm going to share my faith with one person. That's my goal. When I get up, I'm going, my to-do list, the things I got to do, it shouldn't just be go online, check Facebook, email, eat spaghetti, share my faith. Go tell somebody. Say, hey, I want to, you know, just simple ways. Do you know the Lord loves you? You know he cares about you. He's got a plan for your life, what have you. Looking for people, looking for opportunities to share your faith.
Yeah.
You don't have to get them saved. You just keep sharing your faith. That's what you're called to do. And in sharing your faith, the Bible says that you become stronger.
Mm.
You become a better witness.
Mm.
Amen? You shine like the stars in heaven as you're leading people to the Lord. Worst thing, worst scenario is you let decades go by without sharing your faith.
Mm.
You just say, well, I can't do that. Well, he said you could. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, used to be sharing your faith was like, I can't talk to you about Jesus. Now sharing your faith, you think, Merry Christmas, share my faith. Yes. I shared my faith. I wished a Merry Christmas. I didn't go Happy Holidays. I went Merry Christmas. And I'm a solid Christian. I'm not. Merry Christmas. I'm a big time believer. Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays. No, Merry Christmas. Yeah. I'm a strong Christian. Shared my faith right there. No, we don't want to be like that necessarily.
That's right.
Sharing your faith. You don't have to save them. I'm telling you. Purposely go and find somebody to share your faith with.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. Trust in him.
Yeah.
He said he wouldn't leave you. He's not abandoning you or me. He's enabling us. Say, look, I need you to work with me to get this done. because there's a whole field of people out there who are perishing because they're being deceived. They're being tricked. They're being hurt and harmed. And every time they're getting hurt and harmed, the devil's telling them, God doesn't care, God doesn't care. But of course, God does care.
Yes.
He cares greatly.
Yes.
So I need you to go talk to them
and
tell them the truth.
The truth.
He's working in their heart.
Yeah.
You understand? He's working in them. Yes. If he's working in them, then all you do is you just tell them. You're not trying to trick them or persuade them or, you know, con them or anything. You just share the love of Christ and let the Holy Spirit deal with them on the inside. Amen. That's all you got to do. You can just pray for people. You're not the healer. You don't have to heal them. You just pray for them. Amen. But you got to go. I have to what?
Go.
We have to go.
Go.
So the great go mission is get out and go. Just tell people. Just share the love of Christ.
Amen.
You know? And so if you're a little bit down, it's a great medicine.
Yeah.
So I gotta go outside. I gotta go cheer someone up. Me. I gotta go cheer me up. Because if you're always trying to help and serve other people, you won't be sad.
That's right.
You'll feel good. Mm-hmm. Right? Amen? It's like the greatest form of selfishness is helping other people because it makes you feel better than what you actually did for them.
That's good.
I want to feel good today. I'm gonna go help someone. Yeah. When you wake up, you should be, oh, what kind of day am I gonna have? You know, you should get up and say, I got to help someone.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to go share the good news today with someone.
Amen.
The good news is what? You don't have to die in sin. You can be healed. You can have your needs met.
Yeah.
You can have peace. You can experience joy. This is what the Lord wants to do for you. Right? This is what he wants to do for all of us as we believe him and we look to his word. So look at your name and say, it's time that you get what? Going.
It's time to get going.
So go on your mission. Your go
mission.
It's time
to get going.
I think the angels are incredible because the disciples are watching that Jesus just go up, and all of a sudden, the first thing out of their mouth, what you doing? What you staring here for? Like, I've never seen this before. Get going. Stop it. Go. Get. But okay, we'll go. I mean, think about it. You're sitting there. And say, I'm looking at Katie. Katie, take off. I'm like, wow. I mean, he just disappears into Jesus. But say, the person you're looking at disappears into the clouds. Angels appear and say, what are you looking at? I was looking at them. Get going. Get going. You got no time. You got no shit. Get going.
Yeah.
Amen. Get going. So that's what he wants us to speed up to get going and reach other people.
Amen.
Because sometimes they look hard on the outside. But that doesn't mean they're hard on the inside.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, I might look hard on the outside, but I'm not. I'm sensitive and tender. And my wife, she's the opposite. She looks simple on the outside. I better not go there because she'll hurt my tenderness. Oh, boy. All right.
Let's, praise God.
I better stop because she'll send me to go somewhere. Go out of the house and go in the backyard. No, but let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word and that your word tells us, Lord, to go into all the world with your word so that the lives can be changed, that souls can be saved. Lord, that just like we heard the good news, Lord, we purpose in our heart to share that same good news with others, that you've got a great plan and purpose for people. Then, with every head bowed and every eye closed, is there anybody here who's never accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior? We just want to give you that opportunity to say, hey, you know, the Lord has a plan for your life. He cares about you. You don't have, life doesn't have to be like it was in the past. It can be newer. It can be brighter. And he's there to help you through the tough times of life. The toughest time, though, would be never accepting him, or maybe at one time you walked with him, but you turned your back, and you just went astray. But you know, he said he would never forsake you, he would never leave you, he would never turn his back on you, and he He wants you to come back to Him. So if that's you, if you're here today and you never received Jesus as the Lord of your life, or at one time you did, but you know you're not walking right and you want to come back home, just raise your hand with every head bowed and every eye closed. Is there anybody here? Just want to pray with you, anybody? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for every individual here. I thank you for your great love, that you do have a great plan and purpose for them. And as they take a step to go on the mission that you've called them to do, just to reach out and to warn others, and then to alert others about your great love and your great concern and your great passion that you have for their lives. But that they could experience new things in life that doesn't have to be the same as they put their trust and confidence in you. I thank you for protecting those here today, Lord, that you have a destiny and a purpose for them, and that as they follow your plan and as they go in your way, that they will complete their mission, they will complete their go mission, that they'll reach others for you. Lord, they don't have to save people. They don't have to know everything. They don't have to be perfect. We don't have to know anything. I don't have to know anything. I don't have to be perfect. Lord, but as we follow you and we're led by your Spirit, just to let other people know that you love them, that you have a plan and purpose, Lord, you'll save others. You'll cause people to come to a saving knowledge, and you'll get an eternal reward for them. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll go ahead and get ready to take up the offering. If you need an envelope, yeah. If you need an envelope, raise your hand.
Come to a house of worship.
Yes.
And you can laugh, yes, and learn at the same time.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
We're just going to go over this quickly. I pray that everyone will take an envelope. Whether you've made up your mind to give or not, please take an envelope. Luke 6:38 says, give. Okay, these Kellers today.
We're newbies.
Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Yes.
Pastor had a teaching that's not only about money. Remember when he taught us it's about forgiveness?
That's right.
It's about mercy. It covers your salvation. It covers everything, your finances. But today I want to talk about it, finances. Okay? If you look, I want you to look, and the first thing line is tithing. Tithing is an act of obedience. Okay? It's just an act of obedience. Whether you choose to do it or not, it's still an act of obedience. When you look at Malachi 3:8-10, you can claim tithers' rights. If I'm tithing, Lord God, I have a right to come back to you. You said you were rebuked to devour for my sake. Stuff come to devour us every day. You go before him with that because it's a promise he made. And you have to remember, he cannot. I think if we could get skipped in our head, God cannot lie. We would be bolder in the things we do for God. The second line is offering. This is your seed. Talks about sowing a seed. He promised you 30, 60, and 100-fold return. So if you want a harvest, you should start sowing seed. And if you said, oh, I give offering every Sunday. Well, I don't know if that's good, because he said obedience is better than a sacrifice.
Yes.
So if you're just giving offering without tithing, you have it all wrong. Mm-hmm. You can't claim any rights because you're first not obedient.
That's good.
So we need to start sowing seed. And how can I sow seed? We have missions. Pastor's on his way out of here to China. So we've talked about this before. To just sow into him going to China. That's a real mission. And remember with the goats, we're part of that mission. You know, God said he'll repay you for giving alms to the poor where we have. We are rich. And I'm not just talking about him. Rich compared to some of the third world countries. So when we're giving in to them, we're giving out our riches. We're giving them one goat. They were like, oh, I'm rich. So when you give missions and you're giving into your alms, he said he'll repay you. We have building. We talk about it all the time. Oh, Pastor, when we going to get our building? The building's got to be paid for. And then when God blesses us with the building, we got to take care of it. So when you have want to sow seed, you can sow into the building. And other, we have youth encounter. We have children's encounter. You can sow seed into that. You put it, you write it on there. And if you want to prove God about anything, whatever you say, I'm sowing this seed for, every one of you should be pregnant in here with expectation. God, you told me, I'm expecting. What are you expecting him to give you? You go home and write it down. Prove me now here with expect. What am I expecting God to give me? Okay, expect it. Expect it. He said you won't need some money. It's going to come back to you. Expect if you have need of something, he'll give it to you in another deal. You might be needing something, a car. God will give you a deal you will never ever believe. So you just have to be expecting all the time. I'm a giver and I'm expecting.
Amen.
Because my God cannot lie.
That's right.
Okay, raise your almost up to heaven. Father God, we just pray and thank you in the name of Jesus that you are our provider. Lord God, not man, but you are our source. And I thank you, Lord God, as we freely give in to you, Lord God. We know what you've said to us, and we know you cannot lie. So we call it in, Lord God. We call increase in. We speak an increase over your people, Lord God. We're calling your people to prosper and to abound in the things of God. Yes. Whatever they have need of, we're calling it to come in, Lord.
Yes.
We're calling it in, Lord God.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, we give you all glory and praise for it. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Lushes, I can do that.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor's leaving this Thursday, and he'll be gone for 2 weeks. And so we have you know, other people that will be lined up. But the Holy Ghost is going to be here. So we come not to, we love our pastor, but we come because of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We because Jesus, he will be here and he'll be moving. So, hallelujah. Let's pray for Pastor. He's going to be going to the Philippines, to Hong Kong, and to China. He's going, in the Philippines, you're doing a conference?
Yeah, like a crusade.
Oh, he's doing a crusade, and there's lots of people that he's going to be ministering to. And then he's going to, are you speaking in a church in China? So he's going across the other side to the, and is it an underground church?
Yeah.
So there's an underground church in China that he'll be speaking in. He's also has an opportunity, if time permits, to minister to the Hong Kong side, the church that's been there for many, for a few years, but doing a great work, amazing work. So a lot of things that are happening, and he's trying to pack this into 2 weeks, so he'll be gone. And Joe, come on up and pray for Pastor, and we'll just, everyone else, just go ahead and stretch your hands out, and we're just going to
pray. Don't pray for me, I'm going to bring you with.
All right. So go ahead and stretch your hands out to Pastor, and then we'll just come into agreement, and Joe, you got to talk, pray loud so we can agree with you, right?
I'll try.
Here, why don't we do this so we can agree together with you, so.
Well, Father, we thank you for Pastor Bob. We thank you for the calling that he has on his life and the things that you've put on his heart for him to do. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, for a blessed trip for him, Father, a safe trip, Father, that he go and do everything that you've put on his heart to do, that he deliver the word that you've put in his heart.
Yes,
and it'll be
yes.
the right word
yes.
for the right people at the right time.
Yes.
It'll promote growth in those
yes.
people, Father. They'll be
yes.
growing strong in you, Father. Thank you, Father, for and delivering the word to those people, Father. Thank you, Father, for planting this mission in Pastor Bob's heart, Father, that he can go and do. Thank you, Father, for the provisions that have been laid out, Father, to bring him there. We thank you, Father, for your blessing and peace for the trip, Father, that it'll be a safe trip, that he'll get to where he's going safely and back home safely. Ministering spirits, the name of Jesus, prepare the way for him.
Yes.
It'll be a smooth, easy trip, Father.
Yes.
Ministering spirits, clear the path for him, that it'll be a safe trip. In Jesus' name, we praise and we thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, something real quick would really benefit us, you and me, is if we pray about things beforehand. For example, I was already praying about the person I have to sit next to, like on the plane. Lord, please give me someone good. I want to be, you know what I'm saying. It's like someone not disruptive or anything. Okay, I know I could witness to them, but you know what I'm saying. Praying that you get the right pilot, you get the right airplane, that is, all the safety inspections have been performed, that you get no lines, you know, that your food is blessed, that, like when you go to a restaurant here, you pray over your food before they select it even. Lord, please let my food be the freshest, you know, I'm going to believe you for the fresh food, not the stuff that they left out overnight or whatever. And those are things we should be praying about in advance, you know, so it makes it easier, makes it better, makes it smoother, even the direction we fly, you know, I want the people there, this to be the hotels, I want, Lord, I'm believing you for a good room, you know, a quiet room or whatever, you know, just those types of things. So praying in advance rather than when you get there. You don't want to pray when you get there, you could, but it's not the same as praying in advance. Amen? So, okay, anything else?
No, just one assignment, honey. Give them assignment.
Yeah. So this week, you have to get your 1.3% done. All right? Share your faith with just one person this week.
Yeah.
I won't know because I'll be gone. You can text me, okay? And also, at least when you share it, ask them the question. Would you like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And you necessarily have to just give them that, would you like to? I can pray with you. Just say this prayer after me. Because sometimes people go, I don't know how to pray. I don't want to say anything. Well, I'll say a prayer. You can just repeat it. Believe it in your heart. Ask him. The Lord will help you. I mean, think about it. You're here. You're not here on earth for really any other reason. You're not here because he wants you more blessed, because you'd be more blessed in heaven. Not because you need more health, because you'd have more health in heaven. Everything you have now that you think is so important, you'd have a greater in heaven. The reason you're here is to win people, to get them to heaven. So that's the ministry that everyone has. That's why we say, everyone reach one. So this week, I want to challenge you. And I'm going to do it before I go. I'll text you. I'll get it. I'm going to try to get done today. I ain't messing around. Get it off my plate. But it's not, I'm not out of compulsion, but out of desire, because I want to see other people. You know, like, we had youth gathering, and Katie had met this girl who she's seen at the park or whatever. She invited her. The girl came. The girl got saved. I mean, and she's so happy, you know, everyone's happy and crying and all that. But if that were to happen, unless you took that step, to go and say, I'm going to make a step. Just take a step. And you might mess up the first one, but you're not thinking about you. Like, what if I don't say everything right? It don't matter. You just love enough people enough to tell them how much you care, to invite them, to give their heart to the Lord. Amen? And you're really doing it for unto him. He's going to reward you for that. So, all right.
Amen. Women's Bible study this Wednesday and youth this Friday. So that's what's coming up. God bless you guys.